What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you, off and rolling on this Friday morning, following up on the first Eagles game of the 2025 season. Well, yes, the preseason, but the Birds get a win last night. Pretty entertaining game. We'll get to it. Obviously, a lot to focus on. Phil's Rangers start up a series tonight. 2 months to go for the Phil's in the season. We got some me and Jack stuff to decide. The length of the race. The race will be next. How long it'll be. We will get into that. Look, we'll do it all with you on the phone lines at 215-592-9494 as we broadcast, as we do every Friday, from the beautiful Borgata. Richie Rich!
Hello there, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
The marathon, the distance grew from 24.85 miles to 26.2 miles in 1908, just so the race could finish before the British Royal Box.
Wow, how about that? I did not know that fact. I always thought it was the marathon thing in ancient Greece, and I assumed that was the 26.2.
Were doing 24.85 until 1908.
Didn't know it. That's a good fact right
there. Well, let's hope your Jack versus Joe race doesn't increase too much, right?
24.85? Yeah. Are you guys going that far?
I would tend to think no. But, hey,
you might have a chance. I mean, so, you are seemingly in better shape than anyone could have imagined.
I appreciate that. So let's get to it here. Two main things last night with the Eagles game, obviously. One, Tanner McKay. Two, defensive players that we were all keying in on that either will start, will play, or will not make the roster. And then I'll just say this one other thing. I thought it was an entertaining game, like just for what it's worth. I mean, the end, a little less so at the end, but I thought the first half in particular was, for preseason football, pretty fun to watch. I'll put that out there. John, McKay, the defense, I don't know what hit you the most. I think both are pretty compelling topics. What hit you the most of those two last night? What are your thoughts?
The two young wide receivers probably hit me the most. If I had to name one.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, really, I did not expect Johnny Wilson to look like an elite wide receiver.
He made nice catches.
Yeah, the go up and get him catches, man, I loved seeing that for a guy who's almost 6'7". And, you know, yesterday before watching, I made some notes, and I was wondering, you know, who's after Jahan Dotson at wide receiver? And the list that I had was Johnny Wilson, Terrace Marshall, Aeneas Smith, Elijah Cooks, Avery Williams. Who will differentiate themselves? I didn't even list Darius Cooper. And Darius Cooper, from what we saw last night, holy cow, this guy might be the most talented of the bunch.
Wow.
Darius Cooper is exciting. So that's I took that away last night. And I also, you know, I can't wait for Ja'Corian Bennett to start practicing on the 9th.
Need him, my
that's
man.
Tomorrow.
Need him.
Because that number 7 and number 8 were not good enough, especially number 7.
Right.
Keely Ringo, but you know, it Adoree Jackson, it's just not there. And Vic Fangio and Howie Roseman, they both told us this in their own ways. You know, Vic Fangio basically called Adoree Jackson out a couple weeks ago.
Well, and the trade call and the trade tells it also.
And
you know what I'm saying?
And that's how Howie called these guys out. Yeah. Howie went and said, "You know what, Vic Fangio, you know, Vic and I have been talking. We need to help this team. I'm going to go get a better cornerback." So, you know, I was disappointed that we didn't get to see him last night, but I understand you got to take care of things before guys get on the field. I thought last night watching Jahad Campbell, it was great to see him just running around. It's great to see him just having fun out there. It's great to see him ahead of schedule compared to where I think most people thought.
Everyone
was just
for sure.
So surprised, it seemed. Oh, my gosh, he had a shoulder.
Did he play well?
Reconstruction.
What'd you notice?
I thought he did. He did. flew around. I know you hate that terminology.
I don't hate that.
I love the way he can just look athletic while doing the simple things, you know, just drop into a zone.
Yep.
He's going to make a ton of plays, like the interception that he missed out there. I loved watching every little thing he was doing, because it looks a little different. It looks a little more exciting because he's doing it at a different level of speed and ferocity.
And I mean, he's
offenses are going to feel
sure.
it.
Sure. So
I can't wait.
There
was, okay. So the edge rushers though, mm-hmm. Edge rushers felt overmatched also. You know, number 7 and number 8 felt overmatched in the back end. But then, like, you know, Aziz Ojulari, and I was thinking some of these, the big-name guys, Agbo Okoronkwo, and, you know, the guys who've been around the block a few times, not the starters. We know Nolan Smith can do this. The guys who were competing in camp, the second stringers, they didn't seem to get – I mean, I know they're a bit overmatched maybe because we're talking about starters and Joe Burrow.
Right.
And they're focused in Cincinnati on keeping Joe Burrow clean because it doesn't seem they can ever do that. But it felt almost like we were victimized by the Cincinnati Bengals' desire to do a better job of keeping Joe Burrow clean.
So look,
our edge guys didn't do a good enough job because of that.
A lot more, I would say, to react to after this game than typically is the case in this, like, really recent modern NFL football, where I feel like you watch the first preseason game and there's not a ton to kind of dig into.
Just the first half.
I thought
there was a lot.
A ton. Yeah, there was a lot last night. So we'll take your reaction at 215-592-9494. First and foremost, what stood out to you the most? And then just
our backs are both good. Our two backup backs. I thought we had one that was going to be the short yardage goal line and one that was going to be the receiving back, but they both look like they can do both roles, which is really cool.
So what stood out to you the most, and secondarily, what else hit you? Because there's a lot to react to. So, you know, it's an interesting tale of the tape. The defense, I thought, was generally disappointing, and then the McKee thing I thought was really tremendous. So defense, pretty alarming. You know, one thing that stood out to me was back in March, you know, when they were losing all those players. And Slay might have exemplified this more than anybody. So many people would call our show and be like, no big deal. I was like, you sure? Like, are you sure?
Well,
and
Joe,
I mean,
that's the first preseason game with
that,
our backups against the starters.
I understand.
And the starters are Joe Burrow.
I understand
You know,
but
Joe Burrow and his crew, but his posse of receivers.
But there's a lot of good players they'll face.
Jamar Chase is way beyond
player. But hold on. We've seen plenty of Eagles seasons where you got a pretty darn good team. You know, not like elite like last year, but a pretty darn good team that can get sunk by bad corner play. I mean, I felt like last decade, you know, other than 2017, I felt like last decade, that was a recurring freaking theme. And so obviously they're well set with Quinyon, and it now is entirely obvious why Vic Fangio is having Quinyon Mitchell travel, you know, in preparation for the season. But, I mean, I got to tell you, my reaction to, like, the second corner is holy hell. Now, maybe, you know, the guy they got last week will step in and, you know, or whatever, last week, early this week, whenever it was, and actually be able to hold it down and be a solid contributing quality.
He has been
decent
a starter. He expects to be a starter.
Look, I'll make my determination of that guy when I see him play. That's where I'm at.
I can't wait.
So, and then I think they need him, because what we saw last night was substandard, to just use one word. So that was concerning. Other
substandard
elements,
against incredible route running.
Other elements of the defense I thought were not great also. I agree with you, John, the guys up front. Now, look, it's hard to discern in a game. You know, you watch it once, like, exactly what's going on out there. You know, I can't tell you exactly how the defensive tackles played. I'll just say defensively with the guys that you know, and again, it's one of three things, that either will be starters, contributors, or get cut. For the most part, I was unimpressed. Now, I'm glad, John, you thought Campbell played well. I thought Trott Jr. did some good things. But I mean, some of the other guys, like, I don't know, man. So that's the defense. Now, as far as Tanner McKee goes, you know, we talked in the offseason, would you trade him for a second-round pick? I think the answer at this point is absolutely not. Now what comes into focus is, would you trade him for a first-round pick? And with him being under contract for 2 years, man, it's a bit of a conundrum. I mean, you know, I think the guy can play. I've told you in the offseason a number of times, I think he's a future starting NFL quarterback. I think he's a great chip to have. One of two things, either to obviously have if Jalen gets hurt with a Super Bowl-ready roster to try to keep that going, as Nick Foles did in 2017, if God forbid you're in that spot. But the other thing is, you know, at some point he could get traded for real value. Mark Brunell a number of years ago was for a first-round pick. I'm not telling you it's Mark Brunell, but I'll tell you this. I absolutely would not trade him for anything short of a first-round pick. Absolutely would not. Like, wouldn't even at this point, wouldn't even consider it for a second-round pick. I think the guy's good. So we'll take your reaction on where you stand on McKee.
Well, everyone
on the defense
that this guy can make the decisions.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's really solid.
That's in my book, like the mind processing, like however you call it.
Yeah.
That ability to go through progressions, you know, that fast. That's the number one trait that I'm looking
for. Number one, but you know what? Also,
it's above arm strength. It's above athleticism.
I agree.
It's processing speed.
John, I agree. It's number one. But
if these guys are computers, processing speed, the GPU or CPU, whatever that is,
I agree.
He's fast.
He also threw a nice ball. Like those catches Johnny Wilson had, they were contested. They were like really well thrown.
He trusts his receivers.
Now he had the one he shouldn't have thrown, and it was almost an interception.
Gutsy, man. You know. He's gutsy. He's accurate. I love. Well, everyone loves the way he plays. He's successful.
It was very impressive, Devin. You were there last night, obviously. You know, sideline reporter Marilyn, Mike, and you. Mm-hmm. What were your impressions? So your field level during the game.
Yeah.
What were your impressions?
I mean, honestly, the first half was exciting football. You think of the preseason and you're kind of like, oh, ho-hum, you know, it's going to be a lot of backups, not a ton of action, not a ton of, you know, actual schemes. But, Tanner McKee and that offense made it really exciting to watch. And, of course, you know, Joe Burrow and the Bengal starters were out there for a little bit. Like you just said, Joe, I mean, the cornerback play was concerning, especially when it comes to Keely Ringo. Do you know when they drafted Ja'Corian Bennett, the Raiders? It was the
pick.
It was the pick, right? It was in 2023. Pick right before the Eagles traded up to get Keely Ringo.
Oh,
so it almost makes
you
think.
Wow,
is he the guy that the Eagles initially wanted?
Yes,
because
seems like that. That sort of serendipity always happens,
and it makes a lot of sense. So that was concerning, but there were too many bright spots to get hung up on the negative. I mean,
but the defense was like,
well, there was so the rookies.
Because we saw 2023
playing Joe Burrow in the start.
Well, no, I'm not even going to take that into consideration because it's the first preseason game. Jihad Campbell, I thought, did incredibly well. Ty Robinson had his first sack. So, like, there were some bright spots. But, yeah, I mean, the defense certainly gave a little bit more.
Seltzer, what stood out to you the most? What did you make of it?
Well, I think anyone who says anything other than Tanner McKee is wrong. Like, the single thing that stood out the most last night is Tanner McKee. He's a dude. He's one of the 20 to 25 best starting quarterbacks in the NFL today, in my opinion.
Yep.
So I'm with you. I wouldn't trade him for a first. I don't know that I would trade him for anything right now. Like, obviously, if you get two firsts, you get bowled over. But I think he's too important to this team. I mean, Jalen's gone down every single year of his career for at least a game, a couple games, whatever. We're trying to win the Super Bowl. Like, this guy is a high, high-level backup. So that was the number one thing. I agree with Richie. The young receivers, Joe, you've talked a lot about how desolate it is after those top three guys. That was a good sign for a spot. You never know. You might need guys. Guys get hurt. And as far as the defense goes, I just can't overreact. I get it. First of all, Joe Burrow and those guys. But in addition to that, I mean, Jalen Carter's not on the field. Zach Bond's not on the field. Quinn Yacht. Like, it's just different. Defense works together. Vic's defense works together. I can't overreact to Ja'Marr Chase burning guys.
Well, we are up. I mean, if we weren't, we would be sleeping in. You're up also.
Up is a relative term, Joe.
Well, that is true. I guess that is true. Are you tired after last night, Devin?
I'm so tired.
Are you? Yeah. It happens.
Yeah.
Rhea today. Rhea is off, but you got the rest of us. Hope you're having a good start to your Friday morning. Let's go to the phones. Reaction on what we saw last night. What do you make of everything from last night? McKee, very impressive. Defensive players, less so. Entertaining game. I think there's and you know, John talking a lot about the wide receivers. I agree. I thought they looked good as well.
And Eagles are 1-0, most importantly, Joe. Don't forget.
That's right. By the way, how about that stat they threw out on the broadcast? The Bengals, what was it, 1-11 in their first two games in the last 6 years?
Yeah. Wild.
That is crazy.
Yeah, and Burrow.
No wonder why they're
playing. No, exactly, Joe. Exactly.
Life in the first month every year.
1-11. Yeah. All right, to the phones. Jeff in Phoenixville kicks us off. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. How's Friday morning treating y'all?
Good.
Great, Jeff.
Yeah.
Hey, I apologize. You know, I couldn't make it on Wednesday. I had obligated my time to help a buddy move some collector cars around, so I really wanted to see it. But I did watch the replay, and nice butt kicking there, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
And I got to say, I think the running is going to be a lot closer than everybody thinks it's going to be because you're moving around really good out there. So,
yeah, I will tell you, I feel a little bit more sore last night and then this morning. And well, I know a lot of people don't believe me, and Spike Lake and Jack don't believe me, and that's fine. But I can tell you, like, it's not a disaster. But I can tell you, I feel more sore than
sore
I did
is
right
normal.
Afterwards.
Yeah, you know, like that's okay. God. You're saying it's sore to the normal amount. Like, you're not more injured, are you?
Well, I don't know how to describe it. I would just say I feel more sore than I did before playing tennis. So
you need to stretch. You know,
I am. I'm doing stretching every day. I really am doing a good job with that, and I'm in physical therapy and all that stuff.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Real quick suggestion for running, I would do either 40 yards or 100 yards. Number one, either one of the two. But for the basketball,
well,
real quick,
40 yards is ridiculously 40. Small. I mean, you can't do 40 yards.
The shortest that they were considering was 100 meters.
Yeah.
And then 200 and then 400.
How many meters is 100 yards?
It's about the same.
Okay.
I mean, you know, a yard is 3 feet. A meter is
3.1
and change.
So very close. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Look, I think, Jeff, we'll do whatever we do will be meters. I think it'll either be 100 meters, 200 meters, or 400 meters. Because 400 meters is one lap around a track. 100 meters is, you know, fastest man in the world. And 200 meters is obviously, you know, in between.
Yeah. And real quick before I get to Tanner McKee, for the basketball, do losers out because it makes the game more interesting. You know, not make it, take it, and take it back behind the three-point line because I've seen people try to cheat and just put their toe at the foul line and not have the ball back there, and it just – it doesn't make it fun.
That's a good point.
Sometimes, I agree on the three-point line especially. I totally agree with that.
That's a good point. You cheat it and you beat to the bucket.
Yeah,
then we have a controversy, God forbid.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Jack might try to do something like that.
I'm sure we'll get through it controversy-free one way or the other.
Listen, I want an NBA ref. See, I'm not kidding. Like a real freaking ref. Especially after those guys the other day.
Shows the difference between the two shows' approach. You want, like, Steve Javy. They want Tim Donaghy.
Exactly. Like, I would never play in front of that fool. All right, Jeff, what'd you make of the Eagles game last night?
I would not trade Tanner McKee for anything short of a King's ransom right now. He just looked poised. And just think about it. Last year we had Kenny Two Gloves out there, and this is, like, such an upgrade.
Jeff, we knew and we discussed pretty hardcore in December after Jalen got hurt and we saw both. Like, it was so obvious McKee was better than Pickett. They kept Pickett as the two. But we talked about, like, going into the Super Bowl, like, if Jalen got hurt, and then, like, Pickett went in. Like, at some point, you'd have to really consider, like, you know, aborting that for McKee. It was just a weird I thought Pickett got back to two because he was slightly older. But I thought I thought they were playing with some fire if they got in that spot. Because I thought it was entirely obvious McKee was better.
I mean, short of a, like I said, like James said, I wouldn't trade him even for, unless it was just something totally blown away, because Jalen's going to get hurt. It might just be one game. He might just get nicked up here and there, but it's nice to have that protection, to have them there, and you got him under control for a couple
of years. Jeff, I will say this. It's an interesting twist to it, and appreciate the call, man. Always good stuff. So, you know, a lot of times when these things come up, we talk about what pick would you trade him for. But there's a whole other thing. They could get a player. You know, they could get a corner. They could get an edge rusher. You know what I mean, John? And, like, it's hard to talk about it in the abstract without knowing which players we're talking about. But I'm just saying it certainly is possible that they could get a defensive starter for him, and that's where it gets, you know, tricky as well. I thought he looked really good, good.
I don't think it gets tricky yet. I mean, we hang on to him come hell or high water.
Well, I mean, that's a big statement.
It's great to have an amazing backup. And he's a huge part of the fabric of this offense. I thought it was interesting last night hearing, I guess Ross was talking about or maybe it was Scott Graham talking about the way that Jalen Hurts trusts him, you know, trusts Tanner McKee with, hey, what did you see from that coverage? We're talking in games, you know, game situations. He's a trusted confidant to Jalen Hurts. Jalen has different offensive coordinators every year, but Tanner McKee's been there for the last couple, you know, like they really do have a bond. And why would I break that? Why would I trade that away? Like, yeah, maybe if we need it at a position, a major position, you know, but this guy needs to stick around if I have my
brothers. I agree, and I'll say this. There's also a difference between right now and next year, because next year he's 1 year away from free agency. So next year you may trade him because you may say, all right, well, we're getting near the point of losing him. Right now you're really not near the point of losing him. So that is an intriguing reality. By the way, Twitter poll question of the day relates to the race we have coming up. It is a Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's annual sizzling summer sales event is on now. Visit ArminChevy.com for details. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. So we referenced the lengths, a potential race. We'll ask you, what should be the distance for me versus Jack, which is the competition for in the athletic challenge here?
How does Jack feel about the fact that people doubt his ability to beat you in a race now?
It does crack me up.
Seriously, when this all started, yeah. I was expecting this to be a sweep in Jack's favor, yeah. And now I really do. I am actually doubting his ability to beat you in a race.
I didn't think he looked good the way he moved the other day. Like, he's okay. He's not
He got there like 30 seconds before it started.
No, I hear you.
Is he going to try to win this, or is he going to try to be Mr. Cool? You know, like showing up before.
Can I just say.
This is so unbelievable to me.
I have the pleasure of being able to talk to a bunch of people on the sidelines, like security guards, ushers, you know, staff.
Eagles game or the tennis match?
Eagles game. Right. The amount of people last night who came up to me before the game and were like, so is Joe going to win this? I wasn't able to make it to tennis. Like, was it that bad? Is Joe going to win it all? I think he can win it all. I think Joe can win running now, some people even said.
Right.
So the hype is real around you, Joe.
I appreciate it.
The hope is spreading for running.
Well,
think about that.
It is, which is ironic because, you know. All right, so, James, there's two ways to frame this. One is what's most interesting for the audience to observe. The second is what could give me the best advantage or Jack the best advantage. So, James, the three choices obviously are 100 meters, which, if people don't know, is, you know, essentially a quarter of the track. It's the, you know, traditional Carl Lewis, Usain Bolt, like fastest man in the world race. Then there's the 200 meter, which is one of the specialties of Michael Johnson, obviously. It's not as famous a race, but it's very, you know,
I think
prominent.
It's pretty famous.
It's half a lap.
You got the curve. You got to run the curve.
Yeah, it's half a lap. And then there's the 400, which is one lap around the track. James, what do your instincts say of what it should be?
I think it should be the 200, just for I think the audience, I think you get enough of a race where it's not just a quick sprint. You get to see the turn. But, like, no one needs to stand there for you guys to go all the way around the track, in my opinion. So I think 200 is the best happy medium.
And safest, probably.
I think Jack might quit on a 400. I actually think a 400 possesses enough difficulty within it that he might give up.
Well, I don't know.
Quarters of the way,
John, I don't know if you know. There's
close.
There's a new on social media. There's a new nickname for Fritz going around.
What?
Jack be nimble. Jack be quit.
Be quit.
Yeah.
Be quit.
Yeah. Jack be nimble. Jack be quit.
Is
the new. It's what's going around social media. All right. On a Friday morning from Board God, boy, it feels like the summer's moving fast. We've already had an Eagles game. And it was pretty good. It was fairly entertaining. By the way, with our show, hopefully you're entertained by our show. A couple ways you can, you know, take our show in beyond just the regular radio. Remember, that app is always there to listen to the show live or later on. Very easy to get the Odyssey app on your phone. If you're on the older side and don't know how to do it, that was like my problem a couple years ago. Just have someone help you. Get a youngin' to help you. They'll show you how to do it. It really is good because you can take it with you anywhere. YouTube, obviously, another option. Watch our show on YouTube all the time. And by the way, both of them apply not only to live, but you can go back later in the day. If you're inclined to listen to our show but you miss a portion, you can go back later in the day and check it out. By the way, Time's Yours is later today. That's in about 3 hours. Get the calls into the Time's Yours line. What stood out to you the most with that Eagles game last night and the me and Jack competition? What do you make of how it's gone down so far and what's up ahead? That and more for Time's Yours, 215-238-4500. By the way, John, I have an update on the smelling salts being banned by the NFL.
Oh.
Not quite.
Oh.
So, it was the word is like a confusing memo that the NFL sent out a couple days ago. Smelling salts have been banned for teams to issue to players, but they can bring their own to the games, and if they do, they can use them. So just so you know, the smelling salt has not...
Important clarification.
Yeah. It really is a difference.
So it is.
Like, all the players thought it was banned, and the NFL's like, no.
So hold on.
Bad memo.
Why are they banning them? Because they're harmful?
They believe that it can mask a concussion, and a player goes back into a game, which is a reasonable possibility.
So why are they allowed? Like,
I guess there's a difference if the player chooses it instead of the team hands it to you. I mean, legally, that could be a difference.
Yeah.
Could be. Right?
Well, I'm sure that's it. Really, why else would they do this?
But the point is, if we're really concerned about player safety, then what are we doing?
Agree, John. Absolutely correct, my friend. Yes.
All right. All good points all around. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Anthony in New Jersey right now. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, good morning, Joey D, Johnny Hendricks. How we doing?
Anthony, what's up?
Hey, a couple things from last night's game, man, which was a pretty good game. Hey, Joe, man, you got to – it's okay that we lost the people that we lost.
Depends. It depends. Go ahead.
Yeah, other than, like, Isaiah Rodgers or Darius Slay, the rest of the guys – the hell with them. They gone already. The hell with them.
Well, that's a strong statement when you're talking about Milton Williams and Josh Sweat, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, man. They were good players, too.
I like what I seen from C.J. Gardner-Johnson, too. And that's a tragic what happened to him. He tore his ACL. He's done for the season.
No, he didn't, actually. He went down and got carted off. Apparently, the imaging was positive. There's no ACL tear. We don't know the extent of the injury, but he didn't tear his ACL.
Okay.
Thank God he didn't, because that would be,
But now, if he was playing for the Lions like he did 2 years ago, I might have rooted for that
ACL
tear.
Here's the thing. Look, you cannot judge our defense, our outlook for this season off of last night. Our defense is made great by players who were not allowed to take the field.
But you can have concerns, John, on guys that could become
starters. Yeah, I do not have concerns.
John, Kelee Ringo's competing for a starting spot. That's a concern.
No, Kelee Ringo, that has been addressed. He's losing a starting spot.
Well, until someone wins it, I have concern.
Right. Hey, John, I like what I've seen from Gabe Hall. I like what I've seen from Todd Robertson. I also like what I've seen from Sykes. He made an unbelievable play.
He did.
It's like I'm believing how we went younger, and it's like the younger and the youth is working out for us, getting rid of some of the older guys, man. Our edge rushers, they got to come around the edge a little better. We don't know who's the guy there. But the interior D-line, man, and Jahad Campbell, I like what I seen from him flying around the field. Our defense is going to move together,
amazing.
Man. And we're going to be good, man. We're going to be
the
good.
The defense will be incredible right because you've got Jalen Carter up front always taking two or three. You've got a nickelback who can do everything so we don't get caught with our pants down in the wrong personnel grouping, because basically Cooper DeJean can cover up all your mistakes, and meanwhile he can also cover everyone while also pretending to be a linebacker if they decide to run it. That those guys weren't out there on the field. Zach Bond wasn't out there on the field. The guy who can do everything, bridging the gap between the front end and the back end, the communicator of it all, like our defense wasn't playing last year.
James, you agree with John? Is he Pollyanna here, or is he right?
No, that's what I said, too. Look, I think you can look specifically and say, I wish Kelee Ringo and Adoree Jackson had looked better in one-on-one coverage,
but I don't think you can.
I think they could have looked better if Joe Burrow had less time to throw because Jalen Carter's in his face, or because they're getting coverage from Quinyon Mitchell on Jamar Chase, and they're covering the other guy, or this or that, or whatever. So, look, I wish they had looked better, but I'm absolutely with John. I'm not overreacting to last
night. So, I don't agree. I mean, I get it. I do get your point, but I also don't want the Eagles to be so dependent on their main four. You know, the main four obviously being...
But that's how the defense is built.
No, but hold on a second. Main four obviously being, you know, as we know, Bond and Jalen Carter and the two great corners, Quinyon and Cooper. But here's the thing. They had secondary... I don't mean the secondary. I mean second tier players last year that were really good. Milton Williams, Sweat.
We didn't see those
better
guys like a Jomo and Nolan Smith.
I understand, but I don't know... and I don't think they have as many of them this year. I mean, last year they had Slay.
I love the fact that Kobe. We got Landon Dickerson talking about how Moro Jojo is impossible for him.
I think he's pretty
block.
Good. I think that
Landon Dickerson, the guy who's an All-Pro, is saying Moro Jojo is impossible to block because he's so low. His center kind of gravity is low. His arms are so long. He's so strong. He presents problems to every offensive line he faces. Landon Dickerson told us that.
Like me in basketball in the post.
But Jack doesn't play in the
taking
post.
Fritz
so.
In the, I'm going to take him to the post. if
you just backed him down constantly and bully-balled him, it would be the greatest thing that's
James,
ever happened.
James, you have no idea, because you've never seen me play. You have no idea how crafty I can be in the post.
I believe you could dribble. I believe you got some hands.
But it's not just that. I'll pull out stuff. Yeah, I'll throw it off the rim just to get the rebound. You know, like I'll do what I need to do.
You do the put the ball on the ground, fake hook shot, pick the ball back up and then move around the dad move.
Yeah, 5-on-5, you can't do it, but 1-on-1, you can, like, trust me. Right? 1-on-1, crafty, like Manu Ginobili. All right. Your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Linkin Park. How about it? They're going to be in town really soon, coming up in about a week on August 16th at the Wells Fargo Center, obviously in Philly. Tickets on sale, Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. Here's how you win the tickets to Linkin Park today. Give us a call, 215-592-9494, and give us the best coming-of-age character of all time. In all the movies, all the TV shows, all the books, all the plays. We don't normally get play answers, but we could. because the reality is, it's back in the 1980s. It was a late summer 1980s at one point when Stand By Me came out. And what a great movie.
You want to see a dead body?
Yeah, exactly. You got these four kids. I mean, it's an all-time coming-of-age movie with coming-of-age characters. By the way, I felt like the 80s in particular had a lot of coming-of-age movies, more than we get now. But put that thinking cap on, boys and girls, and give us an answer at 215-592-9494. For the best coming-of-age character of all time, best answer wins the Linkin Park tickets. John, what are you thinking?
Holden Caulfield, Catcher in the Rye, J.D. Salinger.
Just take a Mount Rushmore while you're at it.
It was such a huge deal to me, that book, when I was a teenager.
Yep.
I haven't read it for a really, really long time, but Holden Caulfield talking about how everyone in the adult world was phony. It just rang true to me, and maybe it was true sometimes. And maybe now, as an adult, I look around and I think about, man, Holden Caulfield was right. That teenage kid.
You know, when a coach gives you an answer, when you hear coach speak, that's phony talk.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it is. All right, Devin, a coming-of-age character. What are you thinking?
So I'm going to pivot. I was going to say the Goonies, but I can't remember the name of the main kid in that. Is it Andy?
It's Mikey.
Mikey in the Goonies? Okay, so maybe I will stick with the Goonies.
All right, Mikey from the Goonies.
Sorry, I'm running on like 4 hours of sleep.
That's okay.
Right now.
It's okay. So, Devin, that's the second time you've complained today about being tired.
I'm very tired.
Honey, do we get to 6, 7, 8? Is this like LeBron?
I mean,
not 5, wow. Not 6, not
like,
7.
Like pie, the limit does not exist.
Not 8. No. Well, pie's 3.14. So, over under, Richie, 3.14 from Devin of complaints today.
Well, we're almost there.
All right, Seltzer, come in. And again, this goes for everyone, 215-592-9494. There are massive answers for coming-of-age characters. Seltzer, what are you thinking?
Trey from Boys in the Hood.
Oh, that's another one. Boy, is that another one. He does not get in the car at the end of the movie. He survives. He lives. He doesn't kill. Trey is a great answer. Ooh, you going to learn, Trey.
Oh.
You gonna learn.
Furious is so great in that movie. I mean, Lawrence Fishburne is unbelievable.
What
in that movie.
A tremendous, tremendous
Lawrence Fishburne
movie.
Is unbelievable in so many.
You are very correct about that, John.
Powerful. So big answers abound. I'm going to take one that I'm not even sure if it is. I'm going to use it as an example of help me understand if is it. I kind of think it is, but not in the classic sense. Is Arya Stark? A coming-of-age character.
I think she is, actually.
She journeys out there for about three freaking seasons.
And she ends up killing the Night King.
She
I do. I think so.
as an evil assassin.
I would say Sansa probably is a more classic coming of age, but Arya certainly could be qualified too.
They're both trying to find themselves in different ways, but find themselves.
Yeah,
a dagger wielding assassin.
Yeah,
Arya's is just a little bit unconventional.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, hers is the more
that
fighting.
That is really badass.
Variety. Yeah, yeah. All right, so give us an answer for a coming of age character. Man, there are a lot. 215-592-9494. Tanner McKee, maybe coming of age in front of us. Look, I think that guy, I agree with what James said. I feel pretty confident he's one of the 20, James went to 25 best quarterbacks in pro football. I can co-sign that right now. Maybe higher. But do I think teams without a quarterback should be looking at him? Yes. Do I think a team like the Steelers that has Aaron Rodgers for maybe only a year could be very interested in him after this year? Yes. There are teams. Help me out. Who's the Giants quarterback? Oh, they got the kid in the draft. So they
Russell
got him.
Wilson.
Who are the teams we'd be
Russell
talking
Wilson
about?
Russell Wilson to the Giants. Remember?
Yeah. Who are the five or six teams? Because there's always a couple that just don't.
The Saints are the obvious one because of the Kellen Moore connection, and they drafted the guy in the second round, but they don't really have anything.
How about if Dak flops? How about if he gives you another
Dak flops?
Nonsense.
Still
season.
Paying him for.
Yeah, that'll be an expensive problem.
The Jets.
Browns?
The Browns. Justin Fields.
Yeah. Browns got 500 quarterbacks, but they might not be any good. I agree with you. The Jets.
Steelers.
Steelers for sure.
Yeah, Rodgers this year, but maybe as an option for the future.
Yeah.
It would be fascinating to know what the Eagles turned down, because I will tell you this. I feel really confident. I don't know, but I just tell you off the top of my head. I feel really confident someone made some kind of offer this offseason, and the Eagles didn't trade him. So, you know, I think we know why they believe in him. He was really good last night, man. Really good. Let's talk to John in Allentown. John, good morning.
Joe, my guy.
Johnny.
You're back in the lead, man. My money's looking good.
How much did you bet? Who'd you bet with?
I got $100 with my coworker. We both listen to the show every morning. So we're invested. But he listens to the afternoon show, too.
Sure.
So
a very good show. Well worth listening. John, let me ask you a question. How annoyed is your buddy with Fritz? Because now his money is dangling out there. Is your friend really starting to get irritated with Fritz?
Yeah, how surprised is he?
When he realized you quit playing tennis, basically, he was freaking out. I said, dude, all Joe has to do is make this race 400 meters and jog the whole way, because Fritz will drop about halfway through. Dude.
Fritz can run long distances. The one thing I know, he runs 5 miles, 7 miles. Like, he's done it before Phillies games. Like, he got up to 11 miles one time for Phillies wins in a row. Mm-hmm. So, distance, he won't drop. I guarantee you.
And you think he's there now, James? Like, he could be good enough now?
For 400 meters?
Yeah.
We're talking about he ran 11 miles at once.
Well, I didn't
you
know if
mean?
It's 3 years ago you're talking about. I'm saying you think.
It was a couple years ago, but my point is he's not going to not be able to make it through the distance. Yep. Like, you could theoretically run faster, but Jack's not going to drop. Yeah. He's not going to stop running.
Yeah. John, I think one of the issues, though, is when I'm winning, it seems to get in his head. So, would it be in his head halfway through the track, and that causes him?
Well, that's maybe. The thing. If the race, yes, I think it would. I think it's possible when it starts to hurt and the lactic acid starts to settle into the muscles. If you're close, because I think that's what happened with golf. The day starts to stretch on and whoa, wait a second. Joe actually played well the first five holes. Yeah. Wait a second. Joe is ahead. Wait, this wasn't supposed to happen.
But he did
and the
rally.
Pressure starts to get
Gotta
on.
Got to give him credit. He did rally. And that's
okay.
Yeah.
But
he lost.
He melts while rallying.
He melted. John, what stood out to you the most with the Eagles last night?
The play of the secondary. Kelly Ringo, more than anything. It definitely told me that he can't be the starting corner, man. Like, we're in trouble. If he's taking a starting corner spot, then we're really, really in trouble.
So I think let me be clear, John. I don't think he's going to be the starting corner. Now, I don't know who will be, but I don't think it's going to be him.
I hope they take another look at him maybe at safety, because he's got the kind of measurables that – and he's got some closing speed. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
He's safety.
Yes, but there are a lot of really talented players who are lining up to play safety here too. Like, he's been a cornerback, and he's supposed to be the starting cornerback for this team. He's not where he needs to be.
He's not,
he's not experienced enough. It looked to me like yesterday motion came across. I guess it was the first touchdown or the second touchdown. Motion came across, and the adjustment almost was unfamiliar to him enough that he was a step behind. And that's part of why he overcorrected on his angle for the tackle, and disaster occurred. He's just one step behind far too often.
John, here's what I'd add. Last year when Vic Fangio had him for a full year, Fangio still had him behind Avante Maddox, who we all knew was slipping significantly. And he was behind Isaiah Rogers also. Like, he was at best their number five last year. So, or six if you count Cooper DeJean. So, I don't think he's going to be their starting corner. But they better figure it out. Give me an answer, John, a coming-of-age character.
Now, I thought you wanted a coming-of-age movie.
Not a movie. I mean, it can be a character within that movie. Yeah, character.
If it's just a character, I have to go with Luke Skywalker, man.
So interesting. It is to an extent. Yeah,
I think it is, yeah.
To an extent, it is. I would agree with that. 215-592-9494. We're trying to get Fritz to come of age. Now, I want to win, but I do it like I said yesterday. I want to put some hair on the guest's chest. Let me play some audio for you. James, let's play the audio of A.J. Brown that you have in the system. Because when I heard this, he's talking about football, and he's talking about fighting through. But to me, he's talking about what Fritz I don't think is. Like, I hear A.J. talking football, and I thought Jack Fritz the whole time. You be the judge. This is good stuff. A.J. was on a podcast. Listen to A.J. Brown talking about fighting through adversity.
What does the word grit mean to you?
It's pushing past a point where you, your brain, or anyone else thinks you can go.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. Have you had that? Is that, how often does that come up in an NFL season where you're like, I'm at the limit right now, but I got to dig deep and go past that?
A few times late in the season, especially when your body doesn't want to respond the way you want it to. And you just keep going. You just find a way to get through it.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, those are some of my best days.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's an example of that?
Like playing hurt the back half of the season, get my knee drained twice a week. Get my knee drained right before the game, the Washington game, go out there and have a good performance. Mm-hmm. Then the following week, and shoot, even the Super Bowl, right before the Super Bowl.
How are you feeling now?
Ready to go.
It's really good audio. I mean, it speaks to, obviously, the character of A.J. Brown, the competitor that he is and the athlete that he is. I will be interested to see if Mommy and Daddy, otherwise known as Spike and Ike, have the guts to play that for Fritz on the air today. Because I think they're in this, like, do we challenge him? Do we not challenge him? Do we baby him? Do we put a bib on him? Do we berate him? Like, I don't think they know what to do with this guy. I think they'd be well served to play the audio of A.J. Brown and say, hey, dude, toughen up, man. Toughen the hell up. All right, Devin, I'm twisting the knife a little bit.
You sure are.
You know, haughty hammer, humble hammer.
I will say.
I'm twisting that knife a little bit.
I don't know if it's toughening up, but watching Ike, I was standing near Ike throughout most of tennis, and he was more vocal than Jack was, like yelling, like, but at Jack almost out of frustration.
I'm sure.
So,
by the way, let me be clear. Even if Jack like dug down, he wasn't going to win tennis. But it says something about his character as a human, and it could impact the next two.
Yeah.
We shall see.
Yeah.